Hello, Tamars. This is Brother Michael. I was just taking a few minutes to go through the comments and I saw your question. And I do not look down on you for your question. I've been there. I understand how it feels. Very much so. I understand how it feels twice. I've been left, as you know from this story, by two unfaithful spouses. But learn from my example that I did not go looking for a spouse. I did not go looking for my second spouse. I grabbed my first spouse. God allowed it. It was not a marriage he put together, but in his sovereignty, he allowed it because he knew that he could turn it all for my spiritual good. He was going to use that woman to break me. And then, of course, God uses my second spouse as a spiritual example, further refining of me, but primarily for a spiritual example of other people and a warning, an apostate warning, very similar to how he used Ezekiel's wife, or even better, Hosea's wife in the Bible, having a prophet marry an unfaithful spouse. So he used her and then showed that he did this by putting it all in specific time periods. Everything was done specifically time periods, and there were all kind of miracles. So then with Lisa, I never was interested. In fact, I have recordings where I said, oh, I don't want to go through this ever again. I don't want to remarry. But I had known a long time ago through one of the providences of God that I would be remarried a third time. He sent me a book about a very famous lady named Elizabeth Elliot. And she lost her first two husbands to death. And she was a very godly woman. Her husbands were very godly men. And God used that book to speak to me, to let me know in advance that I would be married a third time. And I didn't even want to hear it. I just knew that the Lord was prophetically showing me this was going to happen. And as it turns out, that comes across my path at a very, very powerful time. And very specific to Lisa, God timed it. So Lisa was single and prepared to stay that way, and as was I. But in my ministry, God has used marriage so much as a part of my ministry, pictures, types, or shadows, the Bible calls it. So he continues to have me be in a marriage relationship, even though he's used the previous two for reasons other than what I would have hoped. And what I have with Lisa is extraordinary. There's a lot of suffering because we suffer the want of each other. And this past year was just excruciating. God used all that. But I just want to encourage you, find your contentment in Jesus Christ first. Really find it. You know, right now, the fact that you're desiring a man, I want you to know that this is a curse. It really is a curse. Lisa and I talked about this last night. We talked about the curse of Genesis 3:16. And incidentally, it was 3:16 right when I had this thought come to my mind. It was 3 minutes and 16 seconds into this message. The Genesis 3:16 curse talks about, part of the curse of the woman is that her desire will be for her husband and he will rule over her. And there's all kinds of people that have different interpretations of this passage, but I can tell you from experience of having received tens of thousands of emails from women all over the world, I've heard every kind of divorce story you can possibly imagine. And one thing I can see for sure is that every woman's problem is a man. And Lisa and I were talking about it last night. We have a personal example in a friend that we know who at 78 years old, I want you to listen to this. She's 78 years old, okay? Her first marriage, she was married for right around 42 years. There were signs right off the bat this was going to be a terrible decision. And very soon into the marriage, this man began to physically, emotionally, mentally abuse this woman. She was punched in her face, hair was pulled, all kinds of the abuses that you would not want to see ever happen. But it happened, and she lived in denial about it. She buried it. She pretended it didn't happen for better part of 42 years. At 78 years old, she is now going through her second separation from a second spouse who she knew again it was a mistake. And she went through it because she wanted him. These are her words, wanted him so badly. See, this is part of the Genesis 3:16 curse. A man's curse is for money and sex, but more so money, because you're not going to have a lot of sex without money usually. And it gives a man a sense of power. And so men are primarily, you know, sex is like this kind of, some people just get totally obsessed about it and all that, but most men are driven by money. Again, I'm not generalizing everybody, but for the most part, every man's problem is money. Every woman's problem is a man. And some men will cut off every one of their appendages if they can succeed in just one area. And they're willing to lose family. They're willing to lose their soul. They're willing to lose their health if they can just succeed in one area of life. And oftentimes it somehow or another relates to money. It's pathetic. It's terrible. And without God's help, it remains a terrible bondage that you cannot get yourself out of. And most women are in bondage to a man. You have a desire to be taken care of. It's wired in you. God put it in there. A desire to procreate, have his children. A desire for affection. A desire to be loved and protected, provided for, etc. These things are wired into you. And see, I don't have that. I don't have that wiring to want to have the same wiring. My wiring is different. I have a wiring to express affection and to rescue and to provide. That's how God wired me. And if I don't take those natural wirings in me and yield them in humility before the Spirit of God and say, Lord, apart from your guidance, apart from your Spirit, apart from your word, apart from your wisdom, apart from your timing, these natural desires and needs that you've placed in me will yield a destructive fruit. And when you look at that 70-year-old sister who's now having to separate from her husband at 78 years old, her second husband, after about 7 years, he is a monster. He emotionally rips her apart. He is a godless atheist. He despises God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and she loves him. Now, God in his mercy, even though she made a terrible mistake, I'm not telling you that this is a good thing to do. You should learn from her mistake. And if she had the chance to do it all over again, she should not do what she did. But in her terrible mistake, she made this second mistake, and this really broke her. You can imagine how horrible this was. And she found my teachings on divorce and started to learn about a higher level of faith and really walking with Jesus Christ in intentional obedience. She had been a Christian since she was a young woman, but she began to realize that what she was calling Christianity and what the Bible was calling Christianity through my life and example were not the same. So about 4.5 years ago, she started to really take God seriously, and she has found him in an extraordinary way. God speaks to her, guides her, blesses her, protects her, and helped her to see a lot of good come out of this terrible situation. But now she's having to deal with recently separating from this man and going through another divorce, if you will. And at 78 years old, she said to herself, how in the world did I allow this to happen to me twice? That is the curse that is in a woman. You will make the mistake again of putting your hope and allowing your nature, what's in you naturally. It's tough. You have to put it down. You have to suffer. Denial of self. You are a fool. You have wickedness in you. Your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can understand it? Jeremiah 17, verse 10. You are under a curse. And that nature is not taken away. You have to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to put down that nature and the misdeeds of the body, as it says in Romans chapter 8. And if you live according to the sinful nature, you cannot please God. It is your sinful nature that's looking to man to meet your needs rather than to God. So a wise person will learn from somebody like my example or the example of the 78-year-old lady, and you'll learn from, you know, what has become very well known amongst many people and women. You don't do what your nature wants to do, or you will reap what your nature will bring to you. My wife, Lisa, can testify to this curse that is in her, where she found, even after this man was physically abusive to her, even after he was emotionally abusive to her, even after she dealt with the infidelity of his eyes, constantly looking at other women right in front of her, lusting after other women, comparing her to other women he would see, having no shame in doing it, she felt impossible to release her heart from this man. Even after all the abuse, there was something inside of her that felt compelled to continue to love him and stay in the relationship. This is bondage. It was controlling her. She was not controlling it. This is the Genesis 3:16 curse. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. You're in a bondage to this. Now, Jesus can set you free from that bondage, but you have to be willing to humble yourself and to obey Christ and to really become a true Christian. And that's hard. It's much easier just to say, oh yeah, this is radical. You don't understand my needs. You don't understand my finances. You don't understand my loneliness. You don't understand my abuse. You don't understand my personality. You don't understand. You don't understand. It's all hogwash. I'm just going to tell you the truth. And if you don't listen to what I'm telling you, I can speak to you so authoritatively on this because I have the unique experience of having received somewhere between, I would estimate easily between 50 to 75,000 full-blown email testimonials, help emails over 11 years of ministry, where people saw my story trusting God in the storm. You know, 1.7 million people saw that, and thousands of people reached out to me and emailed me and told me their stories because I so transparently shared. And I could tell you stories about women in marriage that you just wouldn't believe. Like one day I should probably just do message after message about the stories, but sometimes people can't learn through the stories of other people. They have to learn the hard way through experience. I mean, look at this 78-year-old woman, 78 years old. She admits it's absolutely pathetic that she's gone through this experience twice and she came out of 42 years. Ah, but see the desperation. It's called a rebound marriage in the secular world. The desperation to redeem that first marriage, the desperation to find something that works, the desperation to find pain relief, the desperation to not lose the dream of having your identity be a wife. But see, left to your own nature, you will make these foolish decisions. How I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the Lord will open your eyes to hear the severity of this. Do you know that you can find incredible contentment in the Lord? My wife had all these years of being content after she kicked her ex out. And only one time really where she knew that he was just kind of going from relationship to relationship did she get on a dating website. She made the mistake of getting on a dating website. And she went on a few dates and she saw very quickly how men are just total pigs and they're only interested in one thing. And as soon as she saw and could tell that that's all they were interested in, she's like, see ya, out of here. And she was not interested in that at all. And thank God she never gave in to any of those sloppy, filthy pig men. She shut it down very quickly as soon as she could tell that they were not at all the Christian man that they said they were. She was gone, but she just really quickly saw, wow, all these men who claim to be Christians are just dogs, just absolute dogs. So she stopped doing that and realized how foolish it was. And she was really just doing it to find a little bit of pain relief. And because of the pressure, a lot of her friends, oh, get back out there, you know, quit just sitting around and look at what the Lord's plan was. No, just sit. Don't look for a husband. The scripture says, are you divorced? Are you single? Don't look for a husband. Are you married? Don't look for a divorce. Now, if God wills it, let him have it. But just wait upon the Lord. Wait on the Lord and get your heart right. The fact that you're asking, how do you find another husband? It's not a terrible question to ask, but it is scary. And it shows that there's a contentment that you can have in Christ that you do not yet have. Jesus can make you feel like you have the greatest husband that's ever been because he is that. And although he's not a warm body to lay down next to at night, he literally can make you feel as if, like, if you needed money, you have a million in the bank. If you need a husband, you have the greatest one that's ever been born. He truly can. I know for 5.5 years, I was single. Lisa for 5 years was single. In June of 2015, I was so filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I said, Lord, I know you've told me I'm going to be married again and you've given me this promise. I said, Lord, but I'm out. I don't need a wife anymore. I just want to stay single the rest of my life. I'd only been married one time. It was a total disaster. I don't think that she ever loved me. And I was in the marriage for almost 15 years and it was hell. And I just felt this joy of the Lord that was so unbelievable that I just like, Lord, I don't even need to be married. Like right now I can live without Lisa. I don't want to because God's given her to me as a promise and she's become a part of his grace to me. And I love her so much I can't even put into words. I'm a lover. I mean, but I'm telling you this, like I don't think a man has ever desired a wife as much as I have and still been sane. Like for no doubt, there's men who desire drugs and sex more than I have and a woman more than I have. But those are wrong carnal reasons. I'm talking about as somebody who's a godly man, somebody who sees miracles, who has thousands of journal entries and perhaps hundreds and hundreds of real-time answered prayers and a very powerful hand of God upon my life. A joy, a peace, and still I have such a strong desire all these years for a godly wife. Very strong. Well, the Lord took away my desire for money. He took away my desire to speak in public. He took away my desire to be known. He took away my desire to be around other people, to have a bunch of friends, to go ride dirt bikes, to love things in the world, to whatever, you name it. Many things God completely stripped them away from me. Such I look at my old life and I'm like, what? And I'm shameful and I cry when I look at my old life. But sister, God never took away my desire for a godly wife because it's part of his prophetic purpose in my life. And I get to eat the glory crumbs. And so I have a happiness with my wife, Lisa, that I've never known. She has proven to be such an extraordinary woman. And she has had to suffer so much to get into this relationship with me, even 21 years of hellish marriage that she was in. Hellish. I mean, I don't know that the Lord will ever have her publicly tell, you know, the whole testimony. Maybe she will. But recently she shared just a 17-minute version of her testimony with somebody who we knew needed to hear it, who had reached out to me. And when I heard my wife share the testimony, I thought to myself, as moving as it is, I thought to myself, wow, this person has no idea what my wife has really gone through. And, when I heard what my wife went through the day that she gave birth to her daughter, it absolutely wrecked me. I can't even speak about it now without it being emotional to me. I've never heard of a woman going through something like that on the day of her birth. It's truly unbelievable what she went through that day. And I just thought, my God, you're a miracle. My wife is a miracle that her heart is not, you know, like heart is Mount Rushmore, granite rock. I mean, that her heart is not destroyed. I mean, it's unbelievable the things that she suffered at the hands of this man. And so she suffered all those years and now she suffered, you know, this long wait to get in this relationship with me. And it's incredible what I am enjoying being her husband. But we both were so content to live single and found Jesus Christ in fullness that we were able to live the rest of our life being single. And it was like God says, I have a plan for you. And again, you have to understand, for me to be married, God has a very, very prophetic teaching element to why he's having me married. So for example, Lisa is such a type. She's a figure of the end times bride. And you'll hear, if you stick around the ministry, a lot more of these lessons that will come that we've learned over this past year that are just extraordinary. But the most important thing is you're not going to be thinking about your husband or your desire for a husband when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The most important thing, sister, is to get to know him. It may not be God's will for you to have to go through a second round. You know, most men are absolute. And they're dogs and pigs. I know there's those that are out there that are not. I'm not saying that every single man you see, but they're exceptionally rare today. They are definitely like finding, you know, gold or a diamond. To find a godly man who truly fears the Lord, it's going to be increasingly difficult. And so, you know, this woman, 78 years old, she had something happen even the day she married that just crushed her heart. And by then it was too late. All the arrangements were made. And it was like as soon as the day of her wedding, it reminded me of what I saw on my first wedding day when I married my first spouse, and I saw her blow up in a rage in the Disney World Contemporary restaurant in front of all of our guests and all that. And she just blew up into a rage because a server knocked water off of a tray onto her grandmother. And I saw something there, and my mom and I both were like, oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into? And by then it was too late. The day of my wedding, I realized I have made a huge mistake. I'm in serious trouble. And I had no idea. And so you look at this lesson, please learn the lesson from this 78-year-old lady. Be very, very careful. You'd almost want to put yourself in a situation where you make God push you into, which is what happened with Lisa and I. God pushed us into this. God led, not us. I just want to tell you one story. As much as my desire is for a wife has been, you know, it's been my desire and dream to be walking when I'm 90 years old. If God wills, I live it that long, hand in hand, madly in love with my wife when I'm 90 years old. So God has wired me like this, right? He never took this desire away from me. And again, because he's working it out a lot in ministry. Well, when I was left by my first spouse who was unfaithful, a few months after she had taken the children and left, she left on, you know, like July 15th or something. And then like July 30th, I received the divorce papers. And so November 12th, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm living in the same neighborhood as her and the children. And I'm on a walk early in the morning and I'm out praying and I'm crying. I walked around their house and prayed for them. And then I was praying and I asked the Lord, you know, will I ever be married again? And maybe you've heard the story where I see the two birds that day. But the point that I like for people to hear is that I did not ask God for another wife. I didn't say, Lord, I really want another wife. You know, please give me another wife. I didn't say that. I had come to grips with the fact that I knew she was going to leave. I had been in denial for so long. I just believed if I had enough faith, she would wake up in the middle of the night, like, what have I done? And I just really believed that she would turn around and I'd have this incredible testimony of God turning this thing around. And I had friends tell me, man, that's not going to happen. You know, you're delusional. And it's probably God was using them to try to help me see the light, but I wouldn't see it. So anyhow, sister, I just said, Lord, is this it for me? Is this my lot? Am I ever going to be a divorced Christian, or will I ever be married again? Will I ever have somebody to love me again? And will I ever love again? Well, I tell you what, looking back on that day on November 12th, seeing those, or like I say, the 17th, seeing those two birds. And when I look at how Lisa loves me today, I remember thinking my second wife for about the first 6 months, I thought, wow, I've never been loved or appreciated or cherished like this. But she didn't keep the faith and she quickly fell away when Satan tempted her. You know, I warned her. I said, you know, Satan's going to fight against you because he'll want to destroy our marriage in order to destroy the testimony. And I warned her, and she became prideful and she didn't stay humble. She didn't listen to her husband. And the Lord allowed her to fall away into terrible temptations of Satan and apostasy, and it was devastating. But it's a lesson for all of us to stay humble and totally dependent upon the Lord. But when I look at how Lisa loves me, I look back on that moment and I'm like, wow. I mean, I've never been loved like this before. Lisa respects me. She is my number one fan. She gets so excited when I put out another message. My wife, my second wife, didn't even want to listen to my messages. She's not a wife to me. She was a spouse. My wife, Lisa, gets so excited when I put out another message. She can't wait. And she always says, oh, honey, I'm your biggest fan. And she had been listening to me like this for 5 years. So here's the point I'm making is that I had to go through a lot of hell to get to this, but I didn't put myself in this. That day, I said, Lord, will I ever be married again? Is it your will for me to be married? And then I just threw out the fleece and I said, Lord, if I were to ever be married again, you could show me this. And God showed it to me. And I knew with the Holy Spirit speaking in my heart that I would one day be married again. Well, I didn't know I'd be married twice, but God had a plan for this, okay? And he has so used it so powerfully such that my heart has grown. My faith has grown. My sins are less. My ability to see my own depraved wickedness is grown. My ability to love God, to be faithful to him, my fruitfulness has grown. God has used all of this in ways that are just incredible. Sanctified afflictions. But that's what you want to do is you don't want to just take your nature and say, I need to go find a wife or I mean a husband. Ask the Lord, is it his will? So if it's the Lord's will for you to be married, it'll be blessed. If it's the Lord's will for you to be single and you choose to be married, you'll be cursed. You might be able to get along halfway decent, but you will miss whatever great blessings God has for you in accord with his will. What is God's will for you? Is it his will for him to be your first husband and to provide for you? There's been a lot of incredible women that never married who God used mightily in ministry or just kept them blessed and content. And I will tell you this, today I can't recommend women marry. I pray for some single people in the end times to have end times marriages, but it has to be that you know God does it, that God pushes you into it. Not that your nature pulls you into it, but God pushes you into it. Because you can get yourself in such a mess. So many stories I could tell you. Oh, he just looked like a Christian and he this and he that and this. And they marry the guy and he turns out to be an absolute wolf in sheep's clothing. And they're now sleeping with spiritual death. And 27 years later, they wake up and they're dead and they've lost Jesus because they stayed married to this absolute pit viper. And he's put a stranglehold on them. You don't want that. So with Lisa and I, we had to be pushed into this. And God had to tell me, tell her now. And I had to muster up the courage and I had to be willing to be pushed into something that I didn't have any desire for. When I first saw what Lisa looked like on the outside, she had sent a testimonial video like a year earlier. And I just had this thought. I was like, oh man, I could never marry somebody that looks like that on the outside. And Lisa has always been really good at doing her makeup and she's got a lot of natural beauty and she's just she was just drop dead gorgeous. She has a real eye for detail. Even her house has this certain look. She's just the way God made her. She knows how to put colors together and match things in her home and her outfits and all that. She doesn't intentionally do it. It's just what she likes, what she finds to be appealing. And she used to wear a substantial amount of makeup and she looked like one of these supermodels type thing. And she has reduced since being in relationship with me 50% of her makeup. She used to have 8 products that she wore. Now she's down to 4. And sometimes she just puts on a little bit of foundation because she's got a couple little spider veins on her face that she likes to cover up and all that kind of stuff. And she's a little bothered by that. But she doesn't wear lipstick. She doesn't wear all the eyeshadow. She has completely changed. And I'm so thankful. It's something I prayed with her about. It's very acceptable for women to wear, a lot of makeup and stuff like that. But I've helped her to see that, obviously you've grown so much on the inside that sometimes if you look too much and accentuate the outside too much, it kind of distracts away from the inside. And how she looked so beautiful on the outside contradicted how gorgeous she was on the inside. My wife is so gorgeous on the inside. It's amazing to me. It's like, obviously for a whole year, I don't see a lot of her in this long distance relationship because it's over the phone and we don't do a lot of video stuff. I'm seeing her heart and she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. So she started to make the outside be more a match and not distract away from the inside. I'm getting a bit off track, but the bottom line is we had to push ourselves into this. When I first saw her, I said, Lord, I am not interested in marrying a woman who looks like that. And I would never marry somebody like that. And God might have said to me, oh, yes, you will. You're going to marry her. You see, so I wasn't even interested in somebody that looked as beautiful on the outside as Lisa did. And Lisa was not interested in looking for a husband either. She was not looking. Her friends had been trying putting pressure on her for years. She wasn't looking. We had to be pushed into this. And now we find ourselves going, oh, God in heaven, thank you for doing this. How different is that if we would have been looking? If I would have gone on a dating website, or if I would have put out, you know, the feelers, if you will, hey, ladies, I'm single, and I have my own dating website in my inbox. I have thousands of single women over the years that have contacted me and told me their stories, and I know about their faith and their struggles and stuff like that. So you see, it would have been so easy for me to put myself in. God made sure that didn't happen. He's always made sure that didn't happen. And now because God, so allow God to push you into something like that. If it's his will, he'll guide you into it. But you have to be so careful when you're leading with your human desire. Well, that's doomed to fail. That's doomed to fail unless you absolutely bring it under God and you say, Lord, I have this desire, but your will be done. And I want to yield it to you, to your time, to your choice, and to your decision. If you don't do that, sister, I'm just going to flat tell you, you have so much more of a chance, like 98% of ending up in absolute hell misery. Can God save you out of it eventually? Yeah, but that's not the ideal way to go. The ideal way to go is to have wisdom to allow God to choose for you. And I could go on and on about this. I've said enough. I pray that you will. You have to make the choice. It wouldn't even matter if I pray for you. You have to make the choice to humble yourself before God, to yield your will, take up your cross, deny yourself, choose wisely for God's will to be done in your life, and then put your flesh down with God's help. Lord, give me the grace to want to do your will. Give me the grace to do your will. Give me the grace to put down these desires, to overcome this curse of my flesh, of a woman wanting to have a husband. And God, lead me and guide me in this. And if you do that, sister, God will bless you either with amazing contentment and him being your husband, or he will one day walk you into a marriage relationship. And either way, God will redeem it and use it. He will redeem it and use it. May the Lord bless you. God, may you bless this woman with the wisdom to hear what I'm saying. You will be so blessed. You see, because there's no other decision that you can make that will contribute more to your sadness or happiness in this life than who you choose as a marriage partner, if it's God's will for you to marry. There's a lot of people that stay single, and that's why I was going to tell you that, in my humble opinion, you're better off today staying single, unless God pushes you into a marriage. And if you have a desire, don't make it known. Like, unfortunately, I sometimes see single women who have a pretty picture of themselves and their little avatar, and they talk about being single and about finding a man. They should not do that. That's potentially fishing. It's like people who hint around about their financial needs online. You don't want to do this, because there'll be other single men who will be drawn to that. It's very exciting. It's like two magnets being attracted to each other, and something can get stirred up, and before you know it, emotions can get involved, and the next thing you know, you're talking to somebody, and you don't want to meet somebody like that. You don't want to have somebody that you don't even know come to you in that way. Allow God to do it how he wants to do it, by you going through your normal way and not going out of your way to try to fish for somebody, you know? So, for example, when Lisa sent me her video testimony the year previous, Lisa and I both were talking about how we were waiting for God, his promise to come through to bring our spouse back. So Lisa was still absolutely believing that her then spouse was coming back. And even after Lisa and I started talking and communicating, and even the first Skype call that we ever had on April 13th, 2021, we prayed for each other's spouses. We were still convinced even that day.
that our spouses would come back. God had us set up. We had no idea. We were completely oblivious. That's the way it really needs to be in order for it to be safe. For you to be oblivious to God, His way of connecting you to somebody, and most importantly, yield your will to Him. Don't fish for a man. Fish for God's heart, and you may in turn catch a man. And I tell you what, if God has His, I think of Lisa, oh my goodness, I could preach a message on this. My wife, I'm just going to tell you one other little tiny story. My wife is so beautiful that, you know, she's a head turner. When she walks, men stare at her. It's part of the blonde hair and just the way she looks. She's gorgeous. And, you know, you can't walk around as Lisa and not have, I mean, even if she didn't put on any makeup, men would still catch her unless she just made her hair stand straight up on end or whatever and put a bag over her head maybe. But there was even a time where the guy in town that just was such a stud that all the women wanted literally would like park outside of her house. I mean, how ridiculous. How ridiculous. And, you know, friends and pressuring her, hey, listen, you know, you should get with somebody and find somebody and all this kind of stuff. And she never pursued these things. She denied herself doing that, wanting to wait on God. She had no desire to do anything like that. She had plenty of opportunities like me to connect with somebody and have plenty of men be interested in her and get a man and have somebody provide for her and protect her and all that kind of stuff. And she wanted nothing of it. She was willing to wait for God alone. She did not miss anything by waiting for God. And I haven't missed anything by waiting for God. There was nobody that could snatch Lisa away from Michael Criswell. No matter how many of her friends tried, no matter who it might have been that tried to park on the street outside of her house, or who would hit on her at the grocery store, or who would whatever, nobody was able to snatch away from Michael Criswell the wife that God had chosen and drew a circle around her name and put around her and put my name on it. Nobody was able to take her away. You see what I'm saying? My point is like when you look at Lisa, you'd go, whoa, how in the world is that woman still single? Because she's a godly woman. And she's not being driven by her flesh. She found the grace of Jesus Christ. She could have so easily been snatched up if she was being led by her flesh in any way. And she wasn't. She had the fear of God and she waited. And now I think Lisa would say to you, I say this ever so humbly because I know she has said these things, but she would say that this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to her. And that she is so beyond blessed that she can't put into words how she feels about having me be her husband. She can't believe it. She's amazed by it. These are her words, not mine. I'm just relaying her words. And if you were to ask Lisa, well, do you regret being single for 5.5 years or so, you know, and not going out on dates and all that kind of stuff, except for that one tiny little window of time and you missed all, she would say, are you kidding me? No way. And I say the exact same thing. So if God has somebody for you, there's no way that person can be taken away from you. If God has whatever it is, money, a home, a car, a person, anything you need, whatever it is, some medical supply, if God has that for you, nobody can take that away from you unless God wills it. So just put your whole life and heart in surrender of God. Allow Him to have His way with you in this. Don't go looking for a husband. Go looking for God to be your husband. And if He wants to add a physical human husband to you, praise the Lord. If He wants not to, praise the Lord. Best advice I can give you. God bless you in Jesus' name.